while he slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and he closed up that opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "All right, all right, all right. At last, this is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. And I'll call her woman because she was taken from man." And friends, this explains why a man leaves his father and he leaves his mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. You see, from the very outset, from the very beginning, from the very foundations of this concept, God created marriage. It's not a political statement. That's just how it is. God created marriage, and he fully endorses marriage, and he doesn't mandate it for everybody, but he completely supports it. And sometimes we read in the Bible some things, and it doesn't, you know, we miss some things. And so I dug hard into the Hebrew, and I found three pickup lines that Adam used. Are you ready? "I already feel like you're a part of me." Okay, how about number two? "Baby, we were made for each other." No? All right, this is the best one. "Take a good look, honey. All the other guys around here are animals." Thank you. Thank you very much. Not too long ago, I read an article called "The 10 Steps to Becoming a Better Spouse," and I thought to myself, man, that's awesome. Somebody has finally coalesced all the details. Here's some new information on how to be a better husband. I'm totally into this because it pays some really great dividends. But as I'm reading through this list that this author created, the 10 steps to becoming a better spouse, I realized that it really wasn't new information at all. This was information that we've had for a very, very long time, from God's Word even. We've known it for years. As a matter of fact, the bullet points on the online article matched pretty closely to the advice that I'd studied in my Old Testament. The biblical wisdom that we're going to utilize comes from a man named Solomon. He was the king of Israel for a number of years. And this biblical wisdom that we're going to utilize is said to come from the wisest man to have ever lived. So this Solomon, this king, wrote a love story. And we call it the Song of Solomon. It's in your Old Testament. If you have never read it, I would encourage you to read it. It's pretty spicy. It's pretty good. But this morning we're going to take from Solomon some of his wisdom and apply it to our relationship and all of those kinds of things. So I'm going to take some ancient biblical wisdom and match it with some 21st century insight to help us, hopefully, on how to become maybe a better spouse. And so I mentioned to you, it's spicy. Song of Solomon's graphic. I'm not going to pull punches on that. So we're not going to really dig into all the deep, good parts. We'll just kind of skirt around those. You can read those at your leisure. But there are some fantastic guidelines when it comes to fighting for your spouse. And I'm hopeful that each one of these will help you become a better spouse and that you will listen this morning and maybe even take some good notes, because this is not my material. This is God's material for what it means. So there's some homework for you. And so we're just going to kind of step through these top eight things, or these best eight things to become a better spouse. So we're going to just jump in. Song of Solomon chapter 1 is what is written by Solomon. This is a man and a woman going back and forth, and he's talking to his beloved. "How beautiful you are, my dear, my darling. How beautiful you are to me. Your eyes are like doves." And she responds, "Yes, you too are something to look at. You're so handsome, my love. You're pleasing beyond words." She goes on, chapter 2, "I am the spring crocus blooming on the Sharon plain, the lily of the valley." And he responds to her, like a lily, well, I got turned around. Let's read it to you. "Like a lily among thistles is my darling among young women." And she responds back to him, "Like the finest apple tree in the entire garden, in the entire orchard, is my lover among the other young men." This is a man and his wife going back and forth, or a man and his beloved going back and forth to one another, the very first thing in how to become a better at being a husband or better at being a spouse is this: appreciation for one another and encouragement for one another. Appreciation and encouragement. Guys, can I just give you some advice? You should probably thank her for putting up with you. Now, you're a good guy. I know that. But you should thank her every now and then and show her appreciation for putting up with you. Every once in a while, just thank her. That's all you have to say. You don't have to launch into a list of your faults or into remorse for blowing last week's paycheck on bowling. You don't have to do that. This is just letting her know that you appreciate her, thank her, and let her know that you understand that you're not the easiest person in the world to live with. Give her some appreciation. Give her some encouragement. Ladies, I would say, maybe you should say thank you often to your spouse. When researchers ask men what they want from their wives, appreciation always makes the top three. Always. Be appreciative of him. Everybody likes to be appreciated. So remember to notice the things that your husband does for you, for your children, for your home. Thank him. You put a smile on his face and a little joy in his heart. Number one, appreciation and encouragement. How are we doing? A, B, C, D. All right. Okay. How about this next one? Solomon goes back in chapter 2, verse 15. He says this. This is pure wisdom right here. Catch all the little foxes. Those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love. For the grapevines are blossoming. There's a tremendous amount of wisdom in this little phrase here. Catch the little foxes. Remove the little foxes out of your existence. Little foxes would just run around and ruin the crops. Make sure that you're removing the little foxes from your relationship. The things that trip you up. The things that constantly are grinding the gears for the two of you. Catch the little foxes. This is a twofer. This is for you, gentlemen. And for you, ladies, keep the romance alive. You should be cheering. Keep the romance alive. You have permission to keep the romance. Thank you, honey. Keep the romance alive. When was the last time you planned a romantic interlude with your wife? If you can't remember, sir, then you're way overdue. Hey, ladies, when was the last time you flirted with your husband? Excellent. And you're not even married yet. Soon. Be affectionate with one another. Write love notes to one another. Do the little things. Give a back rub. Plan a date. Initiate sex. Remind one another that you still find them attractive, that they are still the center of your world. Remove the little foxes. All right, how are we doing out there? All right, good. Number three, there's Solomon talking to us. Chapter 6, verse 3. I am my lover's. I belong to them. And my lover belongs to me. Number three on this continuum, the scale is, make sure that there's a solid commitment, a solid belonging to one another. You may be shocked to know, over the years, I've talked to couples, and the lack of knowing that they belong to one another is scary. They think that they've entered into some kind of an arrangement, and they're just not sure where the bottom is or if there's a net. You need to make sure, sir. You need to make sure, ma'am, that they know, the other knows of your commitment, and that you belong to them, and they belong to you. There are 1,600, this, by the way, this isn't just the Old Testament. There are 1,640 references to commitment in the New Testament. Is your spouse convinced of your commitment to them, that you belong to none other? Guys, there are three questions that every woman asks. Now, I'm sure that your wife asks you more than just three, but there are at least three questions that every woman asks. And ladies, you can back me up on this. Number one is, am I beautiful? Am I beautiful to you? Women want to know that they are beautiful to you. Period. They don't care about other dudes. They care about you. Is she beautiful to you? What's sad is that many of them have gone to great and sometimes painful extremes to feel beautiful, even if it gives them a temporary feeling of beauty. Can I tell you, sir? It's a husband's job to constantly try and make his wife feel beautiful. Your wife doesn't want to feel cute or pretty or just okay. She wants to feel those things too, but she wants to know that you think that she's beautiful. Man, it's quiet in here. By the way, dads, can I talk to you for just a second? Especially those of you who have younger babies. Dad should always make a regular practice to tell his daughter how beautiful she is. Don't miss any opportunity, sir. That's your job, because if you don't, I will tell you, some young punk will come along and convince her that she's beautiful for all the wrong reasons. So dads, tell your daughters they're beautiful, and then tell your wives that they're beautiful. The second question is, am I valuable? Am I valuable? A man who sees his wife as valuable will always be mindful of the way he speaks to her and about her, not just to her, but to others. It makes the hair on the back of my neck come up when I'm just talking to somebody and they'll go, yeah, this is my old lady. Now, if you call your wife that, I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, no woman wants to be called an old lady. They want to know that they're valuable to you. A man who sees his wife as valuable isn't as obsessed with what he can get from her, but rather is obsessed with how he can serve her. Am I valuable? A man who sees his wife as valuable will spend more time with her on the couch than he does on the golf course, or in the garage, or in front of the TV watching the game, or at work. Am I valuable? A man who sees his wife as valuable isn't interested in telling her how beautiful she is only when he perceives that he might be able to get something from her. That's not value. A man who sees his wife as valuable would never hit her or never yell at her, ever. A man who sees his wife as valuable would see her as a necessary part of his life, not an inconvenience. Am I valuable to you? Am I valuable? The third question that she'll always ask of her husband is, am I worth the pursuit? Am I worth the chase? Many men do an awesome job of pursuing their wife until the wedding ceremony, and then it's over. Guys, keep pursuing her. Keep chasing after her. Fight for her heart. Our job, our responsibility, our honor really as men is to make our wives feel beautiful. Treat her like she's valuable. Fight for her heart like crazy. This is how she'll know that she belongs to you. A woman who's well-loved like this by her husband will be a blessing to her husband always. Is that true, ladies? Okay, now it's your turn. Ladies, make your husband a priority. With the everyday stresses of work, home, and kids, it's easy to take your husband for granted. I know that, and most men know that too. But you need to make time for the two of you to reconnect on a regular basis. Take an interest in his work. Take an interest in his hobbies. Let him know that he's important to you. Let him know that what he's doing all the time matters. It's huge. Let him know you're not sure what you would do without him, even if we all know that you'd be fine. Figure out a way to convince him that he's the man. Because we need to feel important. It's our frail ego. I'm bending into the territory where I'm kind of outing some of the guys here. Sorry, guys, but it's true. We're fragile sometimes. And we need to know that we're the man. We need to know that we're important to you. Wives, remember, you're the most important part of letting him know he's important. He can run a Fortune 500 company. He can have 300 employees, whatever. All of that, yeah, okay. But if he's important to you, that's what makes the difference. Okay, here we go. This next one is all of chapter 4 of Song of Solomon, so I'm not going to read all of chapter 4. You can read it on your own. But the next most important thing for people in marriage relationships, or really any relationship, would be communication. It's just a big super deal. Here you go, guys. Nobody run up here and jump in the ring and start punching me, please. But here we go, guys. Learn to apologize. Learn to say, I'm sorry. This is a simple one, yet it ends up being usually the hardest one. A marriage is a marathon. And we all fly off the handle too quick, or let our temper get the best of us sometimes. And when you're wrong, it's best to just step back and apologize. And I just have to admit to you, this is hard for me. Am I right? This is a hard one for me. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my pride. Maybe it's my ego. I don't want Michelle to know that I have flaws. Can you believe that? 33 and a half years of marriage. And I think I've convinced her I have no flaws. That's crazy. Guys, let me give you some advice. Learn to apologize. When you know that you're wrong, step up and apologize. It's amazing how fast an I'm sorry can diffuse a stupid argument about something that you can't even remember what you're arguing about. Humble yourselves, men. What good is it to win a fight if you lose ground with the love of your life? I tell people all the time, man, if you're in a relationship, buddy, and you're kind of going at one another, if there's a winner, it means there's a loser. In a relationship, there can't be a winner. There has to be the winner, and that has to be the relationship. And I just need to take a second here and talk about emotions. Here it is. Guys, I don't think that your wife wants a blubbering, wimpy crybaby as her protector and leader in the home. But she doesn't want a robo man either. She needs a man who will share emotional intimacy with her. She wants you to be passionate and loving and honest, and she wants to know you and wants to be known by you. Adam was with Eve, and he knew her. And you read that in the Bible, and everybody kind of snickers. Well, it just wasn't about sex. They knew one another. They connected emotionally. Ladies, don't... this sounds so simple, but just walk with me on this. Guys, help me out. Hold your women back for a second. Ladies, don't make him guess. Tell him what you want. Don't always make him try and read your mind. It's easy to assume that the person who lives with you every day also knows you well enough to know what you want. Not true. Most of us view the world through our own needs and our own desires and what we would see it as. So don't be surprised if your husband thinks that what you want is what he would want. Because, you know, that's how we see the world. If you want something specific, if you want advice, or if you just need a hug, or if you need a red sweater for your birthday, let him know. Don't make him guess. By the same token, guys, don't just be that concrete that you're like, well, you just tell me what you want, I'll buy it for you. No, you missed the first couple. I told you to be romantic, so you know, work with me on this one. Make sure that you're taking care of one another when it comes to connectedness and communication. Please, let us know, ladies, what you need. All right, here we go. There were five other things that I could go here, but I'm not going to talk about them this morning. I put them in the digital bulletin. So if you got that QR code, it's there at the bottom of the digital bulletin. Five things that would help you in your relationship. All right, here we go. Next one is this. This comes from Song of Solomon, chapter 3. One night as I lay in my bed, I yearned for my lover. This is her talking. I yearned for him, but he didn't make his way there. He didn't come. So I said to myself, Then I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get up and roam the city, searching in all its streets and all its squares. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to search for the one that I love. Number 5 in this series is this. You want to be a great spouse? Then caring for the needs of your spouse, even when it costs you, is a big deal. Caring for her needs, caring for his needs, even when it costs you extra, is what makes the difference. So just some quick words of advice. Guys, clean up after yourself. If you make a mess in the kitchen, clean it up. Take care of that late night snack or that morning cereal bowl. Setting them in the sink is one thing, but going the extra few steps and actually putting them in the dishwasher, that makes a big difference to her. I'm not getting any amens, ladies. You're not helping me here. Woo! How about this one? Guys, deal with your side of the family. Help your wife set expectations with your side of the family when it comes to making plans. Don't make her inform your parents that they won't be seeing their grandkids on Christmas this year. That's a scapegoat situation right there. Yeah, we're not going to make it. Why don't you call and tell my mom that? Don't do that, guys. Deal with your family. Dealing with extended family can be a huge stress throughout the year. You don't want to make that burden to fall on her. Guys, I know it feels like I'm picking on the guys this morning. Sorry. Guys, put the kids to bed every now and then. If you still have children in your home, once a week, give her the night off. Put the kids to bed by yourself. Let her take a hot bath, read a book, or even just surf the internet and forget about the kids for just a little while. And here we go, girls. Let free time be free time for your man. Let free time be free time. Just as you need time to relax and unwind, so does he. He may not define it as the way that you do. He may, see it differently. While your idea of relaxing after work may be talking over a cup of coffee, he may just need to be quiet. He's maybe talked all day. You just give him some time to be free time. Maybe he wants to just read the newspaper or browse the internet or watch TV. Find a compromise between the two of you so that both of your needs are met. Give him time to recharge by not overscheduling the weekends or trying to get him to do more things around the home or just shopping. Every man loves grocery shopping and going to the mall and shopping. Am I right? Exactly. So don't overschedule him all the time. Guys or ladies, give him some free time. Okay, we're getting through these. Here we go. Number 6. Here's Song of Solomon, chapter 4. You are a garden fountain. He's speaking to his significant other. A well of fresh water streaming down from Lebanon's mountains. Do any of you like to drink stale water? Who loves stale water? Yeah, just a handful of you. The rest of us non-crazy people like fresh water. Fresh water coming down from the mountains. Number 6 is this. Familiarity isn't always your friend. Now, sometimes it can be a good thing to be familiar with things, but sometimes familiarity isn't your friend. Let me give you an example. Gentlemen, groom yourself. Don't embarrass her when you venture out of the house. Check your ears, because you've got things growing out of there, guys. Check your nose. Nobody wants to, just... Check your neck, even your feet, for hair and other things that shouldn't be there. Groom yourself. She not only wants you to impress her friends by how you act, but also by how you look. And that's true. I've asked. Groom yourself, men. And also, don't lose your dating manners, gentlemen. Remember, she's your wife, not one of your buddies. Don't call your old lady. Don't burp during dinner and squeeze one out during the movie. She's reaching for the popcorn. You probably wouldn't have done that when you were dating. Don't do that now. Continue to try and impress her. Do everything you can to keep the fire alive. Battle the urge to let the passion die. Find a new, hot place to eat or take her to see a great band that's in town. Spend money on her. Have fun. Laugh together. Familiarity isn't always your friend. Ladies, let's go on to the next one. No, I'm kidding. Ladies, I'll just read my manuscript. Take care of yourself. Girls, ladies, take care of yourself. 1 Samuel 16:7 said this: humans look at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks into the heart. We look on the outside. It's God that looks on the heart. I don't know why he made it this way, but he did. So we live with it. We're just going to have to figure this out. Guys, We love eye candy. And I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus that way, but I got to be honest. And ladies, give your man something to be proud of. And look, just take this at surface level. I'm not picking on you. If you've got medical things, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, make sure that you're doing everything you can. to take care of yourself. Eat healthy. Maintain good grooming habits. Exercise if you can. You look better. You'll feel better. You'll be a better spouse. And you continue to be the vibrant and attractive woman that he fell in love with, no matter how you age or not, no matter how old that you are. All right. My approval rating is going through the roof right now. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me just sit down here for a second. All right. Number 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. This is a little lengthy. Let me read it to you. My lover is dark and dazzling. Better than 10,000 others. His head is finest gold. His wavy hair is black as a raven. His eyes sparkle like doves beside springs of water. They're set like jewels washed in milk. His cheeks are like gardens of spices giving off fragrance. His lips are like the lilies perfumed with myrrh. His arms are like rounded bars of gold set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory glowing with lapis lazuli. His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately like the noble cedars of Lebanon. This is a pretty simple one. In your marriage, in your relationship with your spouse, set a high bar. Set a high bar. Have high expectations. Ladies, believe in your husband and let him know that you believe in him. This is the number one thing for husbands. Men can do a lot of things. They can display a lot of bravado, but we sometimes struggle with low self-confidence. I told you that. It's low self-esteem, feelings of failure. And because men approach the world as competitors, we sometimes end up feeling like losers. Just being honest. So when he comes home, your husband needs to know that the person he values the most in the world believes in him. Especially when he doesn't believe in himself. Ladies, let him know. I believe in you. Come on, you can do this. I know. I trust you. Guys, live up to that expectation. I should have got a huge amen there. Guys, live up to that expectation. Men, suck it up. I've heard tons of excuses. I've lost my job. I've gotten fat. I've made a mess out of my life. My kids don't respect me. Whatever. I've heard 1,000 excuses. Maybe 10,000 by now. Sir, you were created in God's image. In the image of God, you were created. Can I say it any stronger than that? You were created in God's image. So act accordingly. Stop using stupid behavior or past mistakes and excusing them. Get on with it. You have a family that needs you. You have a wife that's counting on you. You have children, maybe grandchildren. Come on. Set a high bar. Number 8, round in the corner. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16 says this. My spouse, my lover, my significant, his mouth is sweetness itself. He is desirable in every such way. Women of Jerusalem, this is my lover. He is my friend. The number 8 thing on this list would be this. Friendship. Are you still friends? Or have you just become roomies? Just raised the family together and now you're on cruise control. You know, are you still friends? Guys, I would say this. Take an interest in something your wife is really passionate about. Take an interest in her and what her hobbies are. It can be especially tough for guys because we generally feel that if someone else has interests that differ from ours, that they're idiots. But sometimes that is true, but never with her. Being able to show interest in something that matters to somebody you love shows growth. And that's scary, but it's good. It's scary. Accomplish this and you'll make her feel better about herself and you get better insight into what makes her tick. There are 3 little words that synthesize the heart of every wife as it relates to her husband. Be with me. Be with me. That's it. It's so simple, but it's never really easy. Guys, figure out a way to find her interesting. Again, she may have changed. That's okay. Guess what? So have you. Find a way to find her interesting. Again, ladies, cultivate friends and interests outside your marriage. I tell young men all the time when we counsel them before they enter into holy matrimony, your wife was never meant to fill all of the roles in your world. She's just created to be your wife. And so, ladies, cultivate friends and interests outside your marriage. And once you're married, it's easy to shrink your social network to revolve around your husband. But nobody can meet all of your needs. Not all of your needs. One person is not suited for that. It's too much to expect your husband to be your partner, your lover, and your best girlfriend. Make time for friendships outside your marriage, girls. And ladies, here we go. Don't try to change him. Thank you. Where have you been the whole sermon? Ladies, you can only change a couple things. You can change you, and you can change the way that you react to what he does. So look for ways other than nagging to handle things that you don't like. I'll give you a tip. Positive reinforcements beats nagging every time. Find the things that he's good at that don't bug you and just pump him up. He'll forget all about the other things that he's doing that drive you crazy. Why? Because he needs you to believe in him, right? All the other things that we said. So that's 8. I hope that we had some fun this morning getting to find some new weapons in your fight for your spouse. Next weekend, we're going to get a little more, you know, deeper into the spiritual things of this, but this morning I just want to kick it off with just a way to become a better spouse. 8 ways to become a better spouse for your spouse. I don't know if I can overstate this, but your marriage is the battleground. Your marriage is ground zero. If your relationship with your spouse is life-giving, you can survive anything. You can survive kids that aren't doing what you'd hoped or prayed or wanted them to do. You can survive financial setback. You can survive health issues. You can survive it all if the person that you chose to link up with forever is life-giving. Let's fight for our spouse. 4 quick things that you can take home. Right? 4 quick questions that you can ask one another on the way home or any time this week. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is best. What is the health of your marriage right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, how well do you communicate as a team, as a couple? Number 3, what's the number one problem in your marriage right now, in your opinion? If you've never spoken that, do you wonder why you're not having deeper conversations? He doesn't know. She has no idea. Communicate that to one another. What's the number one problem in your relationship right now, in your opinion? And last one is this. What do you like best about each other? Don't make it always negative. What do you like best? Have you told her? Have you looked into his eyes and said, "This is what I like best about you"? It'll change the dynamic in your relationship. Those 4 questions, by the way, are on the digital bulletin that is on the QR code. Can I pray with you before we go? You stand with me. God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity that we have to talk about something that's so practical and yet something that's so important in the life of our friends and our neighbors and even ourselves. And this idea of fighting for our life, the most important thing being our significant other, our spouse, and our children, and our grandchildren, is so huge. Help us to not be so theologically wound up that we forget about the pragmatic pieces of life on this side of eternity. And we will devote attention and heart work to this idea of becoming a better spouse for our spouse. We love you. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Now before we go, I want to say a blessing over you. But before I say a blessing over you, I'd like to give this away. This is Talking Point. It should be a screen. There it is. Called Rekindle. 200 questions that you can ask your spouse. Let me give you one right now. This is one of the questions. What gives you butterflies in your stomach? Wouldn't that be something if you asked her that or if you asked him that? Tell me about a time that you felt proud to have me by your side. So if you did not put your name in the drawing for this morning, you're out of luck. It's too late for you. But next week, we're going to give away something like this. So make sure that you get in every week. Michelle, would you like to draw one? If you don't win today, Michelle will put them back into the drawing for you. Isn't she awesome? You have no... Of course. Well, there's no question why I married her. I mean, come on. Okay. So I get to pick one?
Yeah.
Can I pick this one? Oh, man. I hope this is it. I hope this is it. Okay. Here it is. Ah. Okay. I'll tell you this name in just a second. You ready? Can I give you the blessing with my wife by my side? The Lord bless you like He has me. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He lift His countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the God of the heavens, the only God, lift His face to you and bring you something that nothing on this side of eternity can give you. His peace. Bless you as you go. Have a great week. I hope to see you next Sunday. And the winner of this one is... Kelly Parkey. Woo! All right. God bless you as you go. I'll see you next Sunday.
For hope to always rise.